Hello, everybody. We are back after the Christmas holiday, New Year's. We took a break, but we're striving and moving. We finished our first three interviews, and now we're starting the new year with a bang. Today, I have a great guest. He's a good friend of mine, very brilliant young man, and somebody who's doing a lot in South Sudan. I have Mr. Atem Daniel Dow Mujuk. He's here in South Sudan. He's the founder and the Secretary General of the South Sudan Young Entrepreneurs Association, an association that I have spoken at their functions. They do great work. He's also founded the Let's Read Initiative, an initiative that I've also attended some of their functions. So he's doing something unique. And we want to hear from him, his story, his background, and what inspired him to do this here in South Sudan. Reading, entrepreneurship, these are not things you think about when you think of South Sudan. So we're going to be discussing that today. So, Brother Atem, you're welcome. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Mr. Akol. And I'm delighted to join this brilliant platform, the South Sudan on the World. And I think it's a great voice that speaks and highlights what South Sudanese are doing. And I'm so delighted that the world today is listening to South Sudan through this unique platform. Thank you so much for hosting me.
Thank you. Yes. Now, I just want to get into it. We see you on SSBC. We see you at different functions. We see you at Let's Read. We see you at the French Institute. I mean, you're all over the place. But who is Atem? Tell us briefly about your background. Where were you born? How you grew up? And about yourself.
Well, this is a very interesting question. And indeed, people see me in different places. In the media, they see me. In the business space, they also see me. In academia, they also see me. So I'll start with after my graduation and how I became the person that I am today. So I grew up in Khartoum. I was born in Khartoum. I studied in Khartoum University, the primary school, and also the secondary school there. I only came to South Sudan in 2010 when South Sudan was about to declare a nation. So when I came to Juba here in 2010, I asked myself, what am I going to do to the people of South Sudan? This is a question that I asked myself in December 2010. So I sat down and I developed some of the things that I feel like I can contribute to my society, South Sudan. So I started my career as a cashier in one of the banks here in Juba. That was in 2012. I worked in that bank for almost 3 years until 2015. And then from 2015, I decided that I need to do something that can really touch the lives of people. Then came to me this idea of establishing the Come Let Us Read initiative. And basically this initiative aspires to create a society where individuals are empowered and transformed in all aspects of life through reading and constant learning. So the idea came to me in late 2015. But I started to work on this initiative in 2017. And basically, what motivated me to start this initiative was a report issued by UNESCO by then. So they carried out a report on illiteracy and its impact in South Sudan. So they came to realize that illiteracy has impacted 70% from the entire population of the country. Then I was like, Atem, you need to do something about it. Then the Come Let's Read initiative came into existence in 2017. And as I've said, it's driven by a vision, which is creating a society where individuals are empowered and transformed in all aspects of life through reading. One of the reasons that motivated me to come up with this initiative was because I've seen young people do not develop themselves through reading and constant learning. If you ask some of the students in the universities here, some of them don't even have email address. Some of them don't even know how to write an essay about themselves. I was surprised that I have interviewed some of their graduates They don't know even what they want to do in life. So the Come Let's Read initiative was established to help such kind of young people in the education sector, encouraging them to develop themselves through reading and constant learning. So the focus of the Come Let's Read initiative is that we build the capacity of those students, because not everything is taught in the class in the university. There are some of the lessons and things that you learn outside of the class context. So I came up with what I call the youth access to opportunities. And basically, I help young people access leadership training opportunities as well as education opportunities. If you move around Juba and ask young people, do you know about the Mandela Washington Fellowship? Do you know about the African Presidential Leadership Academy? Do you know about the One Young World? Do you know about the Young African Leaders Initiative? These are some of leadership training designed to build the capacity of young people. But I see that young South Sudanese don't participate in this kind of training. So, and this is where we come as Come Let's Read Initiative. We organize information session. We bring beneficiaries of this leadership training to come and guide our young people on the application process, who is eligible to attend this leadership training. I personally attend. I was a beneficiary of some of this leadership training. I've recently came from the United States. I attended the Mandela Washington Fellowship. And in 2019, I attended the African Leaders Initiative. It's a leadership training designed to empower young African leaders in three different tracks: leadership in business, leadership in public management, and leadership in civic space. So this is one area that the Come Let's Read initiative is focusing on, is that we encourage young people to access this leadership training. Another thing that we do, okay. Many young people...
We want to get to that. Continue what you're saying.
Yes.
I was going to just ask about the fellowship, but we'll talk about that later. That's what I was going to say. But continue what you were saying. You said many.
Exactly. So the Come Let's Read initiative helps young people to access this leadership training. The other focus that Come Let's Read initiative focus on is that we help those who have graduated from the university to access international scholarships, because there are some of those graduates who want to study some topics that are not taught here in Juba. For example, if I want to do a master's degree in entrepreneurship and innovation, there is not any university in South Sudan that offers me this course. So, and this is where we come as Come Let's Read initiative, and we tell young people, here is one of the opportunities that you can apply so that you take your studies further. So in the last 5 years, we have been partnering with the UK government, and we help our graduate to access this prestigious scholarship called Chevening Scholarship. It's a master's degree scholarship offered by the UK government to African countries. So what we do is that we bring beneficiaries of this scholarship, and we organize information session at the University of Juba. And those who would love to apply to some of the subjects that are not available here in South Sudan, we help them access these courses that they desire. These are the two areas where Come Let's Read initiative is focusing on. And in this year, 2024, we are coming up with another project that we call the Professional Development Experience. And basically, this program is designed to connect graduates with job opportunities, internship opportunities. You know, for you to be qualified to work in a certain institution, you should have a specific capacity. You should have a specific experience for you to be qualified to work in an institution. And most of the institution requires an experience. But what are we doing for those who've just graduated from the university? So basically, the professional development experience is going to help these graduates get exposed to work environment. So we become as a bridge connecting these graduates with internship opportunities, and to the extent we also offer them job opportunities through the network that we have developed. And then some of the programs that we do, we celebrate international days related to education. such as the World Book Day, International Literacy Day, International Teachers Day. We dedicate those days to raise awareness on the importance of reading and its positive contribution to your personal growth as individual. Basically, this is what actually the Come Let's Read initiative is doing. And in regards to the Mandela Washington Fellowship, yesterday, five people called me that they were shortlisted for the fellowship, and I consider it an achievement, helping someone accessing something that I have benefited from. So five of them were shortlisted, and they did their interview yesterday, and we look forward to seeing them in America attending the Mandela Washington Fellowship. Basically, this is what Come Let's Read Initiative is doing. Over to you.
So you just really explained, you're not just a reading initiative, you're a scholarship fund, you're providing mentorship to people. I mean, and I feel as if a lot of people don't understand, for some of our listeners who are outside of South Sudan, these are opportunities for people who've never left South Sudan. I mean, when you're talking about scholarships to go to the UK, fellowships to go to the United Nations, the target for many of these are vulnerable people. You're talking about people who are in low income and impoverished situation that are given opportunities to then further their skills. And I used to follow this because I know a lot of some of the people who've gotten the scholarship through your help. And I know some of them have come back to South Sudan. Some of them have gotten great jobs. Some of them have jobs in the UN system. They've worked in the AU. So that's truly a very, very good work. I mean, I learned a lot now. I didn't know that you did some of these other things, which is very good, because I definitely want our listeners to listen to this, that if you are somebody in South Sudan who's interested in the Chevening Mandela, Brother Tim, and the Come Let's Read Initiative is an initiative that you need to go to, and it's doing good work. That's very good. Now, you mentioned a good point. You said you worked as a cashier. You have a reading initiative. How did you get into entrepreneurship? Because that's what you're mostly known for.
Yes. Actually, in 2021, during the International Youth Day, the Come Let's Read initiative organized a series of conversation on entrepreneurship. The intention was to look at the number of young people in the business space. So we hosted a series of conversation, and then we invited young people who establish businesses and manage to succeed amidst the economic crisis. So as a recommendation from this series, young people saw that there is a need to establish a business entity that brings all young entrepreneurs together. And this is what inspired me to come up with what I call the Association of South Sudanese Young Entrepreneurs. And our vision is to build a network of strong young entrepreneurs who will be able to contribute to the economic development of the country through their enterprises and the businesses that they have established. And our mission is to create an environment that favors young entrepreneurs in the market space. That's how the association came to light.
Okay. And so you see entrepreneurship as something very important in South Sudan. I myself agree with you, as many times you had me come to some of these functions. And I think it's an aspect that we fail to understand, that entrepreneurship isn't limited to just your business person. It's also is creativity. Because I would even describe you, Brother Tim, as a social entrepreneur, because what you're doing is you're doing something creative that's needed in the society or needed in the sector, and it's adding value. And so, yes, there are businesses, there's opportunity to make money, but I feel as if the social entrepreneurship aspect is an aspect that people should not neglect. And I think you yourself should not neglect that aspect, that you are a social entrepreneur. Some of the work that you are doing is impacting the society in a very positive way. But now, as South Sudan, a lot of people are hesitant to enter the private sector. They believe that there's no money, getting a business is hard, getting contracts, you have to be connected. And we discussed this. I mean, many people believe that if you're not connected, you won't get a contract. Getting capital is difficult. Getting work. And then there's so many other different variables like city council, like taxes, like renewing your company documents. There's a lot of other challenges. What are some of the services that the association offers to support entrepreneurs?
Well, let me first start off how I became an entrepreneur. You know, when I came to Juba here in 2010, I came very excited. I came with this energy. I'm coming to my country. I will have opportunities. I will have my dream job because I've graduated in one of the best universities in Khartoum. And mine was a joint degree. So I have a degree in flight operation, the Department of Meteorology and Air Navigation. And I also have a degree in economic and financial studies. So when I came to Juba, I went to one of the Indian travel agencies since my background is aviation. So I told them, why don't you offer me a job opportunity? So when I spoke to them, they told me, in as much as you are competent enough to deliver the work, you lack one thing. You are an Arabic pattern, and it will not be easy for you to communicate with our customers. So they denied me the opportunity simply because by then I wasn't fluent in speaking English. So I went out from that, you know, agency with two decisions. The first decision, I was so frustrated that I was denied an opportunity to get employed in my own country. The second feeling that came to me that, Atim, there is something that you lack, you need to work on. So I subjected myself to an intensive time of self-development. I went to YouTube and started to watch episodes on how to improve my English ability speaking. And that's how I became fluent in speaking English. The other thing also, after I was denied the opportunity, I told myself, Atim, also you need to create a stream of income so that you develop yourself. You see? So what I did is that I joined one of the churches here in Juba. It's called Rebuilding Ministries International. And then they realized that I am very excellent in translation. So I started to translate the service. When the preacher is speaking Arabic, I translate the sermon into English. And when the speaker or the preacher is speaking into English, I translate it into Arabic. So among the audiences or the members of the church was a lady who works with UNDP. Then she approached me one day and said, Atim, why don't you come to one of our workshops and translate? Sometimes we organize workshops where we bring people from states that don't speak English. So I was offered an opportunity to translate in one of the workshops here in Juba. And then that opened for me an opportunity. So I became a translator in workshop. And in the same time, while I was translating, they realized I am also good at moderating panel discussion. I am also good at emceeing event. You see? So now, being a translator, it has created more opportunities of employment for me. And that's why whenever I meet with young people, I tell them that if they don't want to hire you, hire yourself. You see? So from translation, I became a moderator, I became an MC, and now people are paying me to moderate their event. They are paying me to MC their session or their conferences, you see? So then later on, I have developed it to become a company. I have now a company called Aruma Event Management, where I provide decoration for events, and also I have a staff of MC, staff of protocol. You see, it became my own business and it became a source of income to me. And on the other hand, also the translation ability also became a business to me. People hire me to translate in their event, to translate their even academic papers, you see. So this all happened because I have worked on myself and I have utilize these opportunities and created for myself business out of them. You see? And this is what young people need to do. So I felt like sharing this experience first before I answer what you have told me.
Yeah, that's a very good experience. I mean, I think for all our listeners, he said a couple things, as we always talk about on the show. Develop yourself. Don't always believe this is the dead end. And I think that I want to add something. You have to be process-oriented as opposed to resource-oriented. Brother Atim wanted to get a job. He didn't get the job. He could have said, no, I'm going to give up. He said, okay, what do I need to do to improve this? Well, I need to learn English. let me go do a process, watch videos. And that probably took a couple of years. That's Brother Tim. But then once you started learning, the work of translating improves your English. Because if you're translating every day, you're improving your English. So, and it's also good that now you start seeing the market. I mean, now you're in the media, communications, and event management. You see like, okay, I go to an event, they need a translator, and then they need a moderator, and then they also need an MC. Why can't I do all of these? I'll make more money. And now you can offer, because you're a business. You hire yourself. So now you say, hey, for example, some events will say, we'll pay you to translate X amount of dollars, say $200 for the event. But then they pay the MC $300. Then they have another person thing. So total, they probably have budgeted, let's say, $1,000 for people. You can come and pitch and say, hey, $1,000, give me $800, save your $200, I'll do all of these. I mean, you're a business. You offer a solution. And now they can say, you know what? You come and do this. And the good thing about some of these events is that it's only 3-4 hours. So you'll be making money in 3-4 hours. And let's say you do 3 events a week. I mean, you can make it 500 here, 500 there. That money adds up. And once again, we always say this, and you always say this, Brother Tim, small money adds up. Many people say, well, that's only $500. But I'm like, let's say I do 10 events a month. 500 times 10 is $5,000. It adds up. And these events, I show up, I translate, I do this. And guess what? The more events I do, the better I get at something. And that's one thing we have to say, Ajama. This is a guy who didn't know English less than 9 years ago. Who is now even translating for people. It's because they put in the effort. He's persistent. He doesn't give up. Don't give up. Be creative. Build your skills. Build your abilities. You know, so that's what I have to say. So Brother Tim, continue. So from there, you decided to create the association.
Yes. So now the association focus on some of the thematic areas. So the first thematic area is that we provide business mentorship opportunities to two different group of entrepreneurs, those who aspire to join the business space and those who are already in the business space. So now we do mentorship in two different ways. The first way, we organize financial literacy training in collaboration with financial institution in the country. And we have so far signed a memorandum of understanding with some of the banks here in Juba, Equity Bank and also Horizon Bank. What they do is that they provide financial literacy training to the members of the association. For example, how to apply for loan in the bank. It's an area that you need to be taught as an entrepreneur, you see? And some of the other financial literacy training that we also organize. The second way of the mentorship is we organize exchange visit, where we take a group of 25 young entrepreneurs to some of the countries that have gone ahead of us in economic development. And our objective is to give them global exposure and regional exposure, to give them an opportunity to learn from the best practices of other associations, for example, in Kenya, in Rwanda, and some of the African countries, you see? So this is the first area, providing this mentorship to the members of the association. Number two, we organize what we call Young Entrepreneurs Business Expo. So it's a trade fair that brings on board a group of 20 young entrepreneurs who are providing service and doing businesses here in Juba. And what we normally do is that when we are doing this expo, we invite established and accomplished businesses in Juba to come and support these young entrepreneurs. And our intention is that we want to build a network between big businesses and small businesses. It is not like the bazaar that people always do, whereby you come and showcase your product and then you hope that people will come and buy. But what we do is that we specifically reach out to some of the big businesses here in Juba, and we tell them that the growth of these young entrepreneurs depend on your support, you see? And that's why whenever we organize this trade fair, all the participants make sure that the products are sold out and they are being supported in different areas. So this is the second area that the association focuses on. And we do this business expo every 2 months. One of our biggest programs that we are working on at the moment is that we want to build an agenda of solidarity among the business community in South Sudan. We always complain that foreigners have taken over the economy of the country, but we haven't asked ourselves, do we have a national agenda as young people in the business space? If you see the Somalis community and the Eritrean community, you will not see an Eritrean man going to eat a restaurant owned by a South Sudanese. They always make sure that they eat the food that is made by an Eritrean person. You see, this is the kind of solidarity that we need to build among ourselves. And this is what we are currently focusing on. We tell young people that let us build an agenda of solidarity among ourselves. Let us invest among ourselves. Let us build ourselves together. You see, so we are focusing on those three thematic areas as the association. And every now and then we get a new idea and then we develop it. And also, in highlight of this achievement of the association, we have established what we call Entrepreneurship Forum. It's a platform where we discuss topics related to the engagement of young people in business space. We discuss entrepreneurship, we discuss the role of technology in accelerating economic growth, different kind of topics that we feel can build the capacity of young people. This is what the association is currently focusing on. And in 2014, we are going to introduce Entrepreneurship Masterclass. And basically, it's a class that bring on board a group of 300 young entrepreneurs for a one-week intensive workshop on a specific topic. It could be marketing, it could be sales, it could be leadership in business. And we ensure to bring on board one of the renowned business people around the world. And so we are planning to bring a South African venture capitalist. His name is Vusi Tombekwayo, and he will come to Juba in April for 1 week entrepreneurship masterclass. This is what the association has been doing for the past 3 years.
Okay. So in this masterclass, if people are interested, let us know, how can somebody join?
Sure, I will.
So many people are interested in joining. How can they join?
First of all, next month, we are going to open a new opportunity for those who would love to join the Association of South Sudanese as members. Once you become a member, you have the right to be part of any activity organized by the association, including the master classes that we will be organizing in 2024.
Okay, and definitely let us know how we can help, especially from our private sector, and we can do some training, whatever services, like it always.
Sure.
So I think we'll segue into entrepreneurship. Is a very sticky topic in South Sudan, and people view it as something very elitist, meaning starting a business, you need money. And there are people who have gotten opportunities more than others. So what would be your message to the average South Sudanese, somebody who sees themselves as Zol Miskin Basit, who wants to start a business? They don't have capital. They just have ideas. How can they start a business?
Well, one of the verses that I like in the Bible, and that verse has really changed my life, is in the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 18. And as you know, that this book of Proverbs was written by the richest man who ever lived in the world, King Solomon. He said that money answers everything. This is what he said. When you have money, you can access whatever that you want. That is number one. He also said one of the verses in the same chapter that your gift will make room for you and will bring you before great people. And what the king wanted to illustrate through this verse, that once you have a gift and you develop that gift, this gift will make room for you and will bring you before great people. For example, me as a temp, I had this gift of translation, moderating event, emceeing event. When I developed that gift, people now are paying me to be an MC. You see, it had created an opportunity for me. And also, it has brought me before great people. So I have attended events where the president was there, His Excellency Salfake Mayadin, and some other government official, you see? So once you develop your gift, it provides an opportunity for you in the society. It gives you recognition, and people will pay you to perform your gift. For example, Messi, the football player, people pay him to play. Why? Because of the gift of playing football. Each one of us, every young person who is listening to this episode, you have a gift. You have something that you do better than others. Utilize it. Let it become a source of income. The way translation became a source of income to me, you have something that you are very good at, and it can create an income for you. And once it has created an income for you, you can develop it to become a business. And once it becomes a business now, you are qualified to be an entrepreneur, because that one idea will open new horizon, new opportunities for you. That is the first thing that I will tell them. The second thing also, as I've said in the beginning, that if they don't want to hire you, hire yourself. Develop yourself in an area of gifting, and people will start to see that you have something that they can pay for. Like the lady who saw me translating in the church, I have developed my gift. And also, young people need to avail themselves in spaces that market them. Imagine a call if I wasn't a translator in the church. That lady would have not seen me. And if she hadn't seen me, I would have gotten an opportunity to be an excellent translator or a best MC. So young people need also to avail themselves in spaces that market them. Attend workshops, conferences, be part of what is happening around so that people can see what you have. You can't be talented and hiding yourself. You can't be having something that you can do for the society and you wait that I need the government to call for young people to do something. Show up, show what you can do to people. And I believe the entire world will help you and will actually pay for you if you avail yourself. And I think these are the two things that young people need to understand. The other thing also, we shouldn't allow ourselves to be defeated by what we are seeing. You see, you can prosper even in the most difficult, bad economics of the world. You can still survive if you have a talent, if you made your mind that I need to come up from this situation. Once you become a diligent person, because this world we live in is not designed to reward those who are lazy, but it is designed to reward those who are diligent. The moment you become diligent, even if you have nothing in your hand at the moment, attend a workshop. From that workshop, I believe you can get someone who can benefit from what you have, develop something that you feel you have in you. Now, the SSBC, when they saw me translating here and seeing this event, they told me, why don't you come and become a host of one of our programs? You see, if I did not avail myself in these spaces, SSBC would have not seen me. And that's how greatness starts in our life. That's how you become an entrepreneur, the moment you rise up against the frustration and the limitation that are around you. I think this is what I can say. So
I think there's something very, very important you said here. And it's that one day you woke up and you went to church. You weren't expecting anything, right? And at the church, somebody said, hey, you're good at translating. Come work. Everything is a process. And this is the, and we have to get our people to believe it. Like, if you reflect on some of the opportunities you've gotten in your life, it's because of some small opportunity that you didn't think was a big deal, right? Like, you're like, okay, yes. I'm going to church today, nothing come out of it. Or I'm going to attend this meeting, and then somebody at that meeting is powerful, and then they're like, oh, how about I give you a job, or how about I give you more work? So we have to make it genuinely believe that your excellence is a habit. It's a habit. It's something you do every day. For example, I can have a big business, a big firm, and one day I go to a small event at the French Institute, And I know Brother Tim. Then I say, Tim, who's that young man who was talking very well? I want to hire them. That person probably woke up and said, you know what? I'm just going to go and speak, be on a panel for the Come, Let's Read Initiative or the South Sudan Young Entrepreneurs. But they didn't know that somebody there is listening. So just always remember, especially in the day and age of technology where nowadays you can sell yourself on social media. You can sell yourself on the internet and somebody can see that. You can go to somebody's LinkedIn profile. You can go to somebody's Twitter. You can go to somebody's Facebook. And I'm like, wow, this is good work. Let me tune in. Let me follow this person. I mean, there's a lot of people that I follow that I've met. And I've maybe met them a couple times, but I see their work. I love their work. I love what they're doing. But I probably met them. I probably haven't seen them. I mean, I'll give an example. Your co-host, Sarah. We that one time when the Minister of Youth came and we were there, we were together. She was a moderator. And I saw her from then. But since then, I've been following some of her work, her music, different stuff like that. I just met her once, but look how social media is now that I see her now that she's on your show. And I'm like, wait, this is very, very good. So yeah. Don't think that there's no such thing as a small opportunity. There isn't. Yes. Every opportunity to say, you never know who's looking. I mean, yeah. So, I mean, what do you have to say to that? I mean, you being religious and especially considering that God always has a plan. Like I myself, like I believe in God. I believe God always has a plan. You know, and you sometimes you may think that a door has closed, but God is closing a door for you and opening a door for me. You don't know. I mean, imagine, Brother Tim, God closed the door for you to be aviation. I mean, he did it on purpose. Now you're probably like, wow, alhamdulillah, he did that to me before. Because in the moment, we're like, man, why is he doing this? But no, he sees something that you don't see, you know? And yes. It's like, Rabbuna subhanahu wa ta'ala always is seeing something that you don't see. So when you think like, I didn't get that opportunity. And then when you reflect like, wow, okay, when you didn't get that job, you ended up studying English. When you studied English, you had to learn to become a translator. And look at all the opportunities that came as a result. You went to America. You have all these organizations. You're a very prominent person in South Sudan. And particularly into the youth audience. I mean, you're a known voice, a known key player, and a very influential person. But yes. You had to have a door closed in your face for that to happen. That's that. So now I want to get to the point of the idea of processes. And why I want to say this is because you've said a lot of things that focus on processes. Everything you said takes time. You had to learn English. You studied Arabic. You had everything against you. What can we do to inspire people to think long term? Because the age of social media, the age of technology makes you want it now, now, now. Like, I mean, you go see a Tem, you see a Tem doing all this stuff, and you're like, why am I not him? You just graduated college this year. You can't be like a Tem. A Tem was, you started working in 2012. That's 11 years of experience. So now if I come and say, I want to be like, so what do you say as somebody who's a mentor, a young leader, an entrepreneur, a thinker, an intellectual, how do you encourage people to be long-term thinkers instead of thinking on the now?
The first thing that they need to know is that you need to have a network of people who inspires you. There is this great man called Dr. Miles Monroe, and he's one of the people that I really follow, whatever that he says on leadership. So he said one of the most important statements, and he said that if you are among a group of people and you are the most smartest person in that group, I encourage you to quit. Don't be in a group of people and you are the most smartest person. Always be in a group of people who have gone ahead of you. People who have achieved better than you. People who are ahead of you in different areas of life. Because whenever you are around them, you get intimidated. You feel like there is something missing in your life that you need to do. And this is how you get to improve yourself. So the first thing that young people need to know is that get yourself a network of experts. Be around people that you can learn from them. For example, those who are currently in the universities, they can get around people like Atem and Sarah, Akol, Because the more you come close to them, you will feel like there is something you need to do in yourself. And that's how you come out from your comfort zone, and that's how you discover your areas of strength, what you are capable of doing, and what you can achieve actually in the society. This is the first thing that young people need to do, and it will help them to cultivate this idea of, I need to plan for my life. I need to plan to reach my destination. It's very important for you to go through a process, because life itself is designed in processes. As I have narrated my story, it has taken me from 2012 until 2017 to establish the Come Let's Read initiative. And in that moment, God was building on me the momentum. God was building on me the capacity to endure hardship. God was building on me the confidence to carry out this vision and building my capacity so that I ensure that I translate the vision of the Come Let's Read initiative into people. So it has taken me from 2021 to 2017 to establish the Come Let's Read initiative. In other words, it's very important for you to go through a process if you are about to do something that is genuine and something that is authentic in life. I'll also share how I came to know the Mandela Washington Fellowship. So when I heard about it in 2017, imagine a call, I have applied in 2017, then I was rejected. I applied again 2018, I was rejected again. I applied in 2019, I was 2017 rejected, 2018 rejected, 2019 rejected. 2020, I applied. Guess what? They reject me.
Four times, and you kept applying. Let me say
this. Yes.
So you didn't give up.
I didn't give up. In 2021, I told myself, Atim, you have tried four times. You just leave it. Maybe God did not meant for it. So I stayed not applying in 2021, but I did something. I shared the opportunity with other colleagues. They came to me. We worked on their application. Do you know what happened? They were accepted. So
you were like, wait a second, if I would have applied, then I would have gotten it.
Imagine a girl trying four times, and then you tell someone, then they are being accepted in the first attempt.
And you help them with, because you learned so much about the process and your application. Yes. That you had insights they didn't have.
Exactly. So I became more annoyed from God. Why is he giving them an opportunity? I am the one who even informed them that this leadership training exists. So now there is something about this application process is that the eligibility criteria, you have to be between 25 to 35 years old. So in 2022, I told myself, Atim, just give it a try for the last time, because if you miss to apply this year, next year you will not be eligible. So I applied in 2022 for the Mandela Washington Fellowship. That was in December. Then the result came in March 2023. So when the result came, they told me, Atim, you have been accepted for the Mandela Washington Fellowship. Imagine, it has taken me 6 years to qualify for the Mandela Washington Fellowship. This process has taught me the importance of going through process. When I started to review the application from 2018, 2017, I came to realize that my application in 2017 was not that attractive. That's why I was rejected, you see?
Oh, so you learn more about you. And because you have to be honest with yourself. You have to say,
yes.
And sometimes it takes you to sit down and reflect. Do you play sports? You play football?
I don't.
So I'm a big sports guy. So I played American football, basketball. So sometimes in American football, you watch film and the coach is like, by the way, you really messed up this play. And you're like, no, I didn't. I did what I was supposed to do. And you get mad. And then later you're like, I really did mess up this play. Right? I should have gone this and done that. And the coach is like, so sometimes in life, when you sit down and reflect with yourself, you're like, I'm not doing enough. And that's when you become great, by the way, Brother Tim. That's when you find the best of your best. Because if you complain and said, no, they're against me, people are conspiring against me, they don't want me. No, but when you reflect, you're like, wait a second, my application wasn't really attractive. I'm the one who's failing. I wasn't doing enough. And guess what? When you accepted that, what happened? You ended up helping people because you probably, at 2017, I wrote it down, you probably reviewed your application. Then you improved something in 2018. Then you improved something in 2019. Then you improved something in 2020 and you kept getting rejected. So what happened is you kept getting better and better, but it still was not enough. But in 2021, it was almost like the improvements and the ideas that you have made, if you would have just stuck it out, you would have gone in 2021 because you ended up helping people in their first time. Like, wait a second, yeah, Jamal, don't write this. Don't say this. Let me review your thing because I've made some mistakes. I think this is why I wasn't applied. And then when you finally got it, they probably was like, this is our best person because he did it better. And then guess what? You said something so interesting. You're like, my application wasn't that attractive. That right there is the humility that makes people become great. To say, I messed up. I need to get better. I'm not doing the best that I can. And when you're honest with yourself, because let's be honest, when you are talking to yourself, it's you and God. God knows everything. God knows the effort you put in. God knows if you've been slacking off. So, but God is like, you know what? Tim, are you sure you did your best? Are you sure your application was good? Or you just believe that you should just get it? And guess what? When you accepted that I need to do better, you did better. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and I'm glad you're sharing these stories because people need to hear this. Like, people see you, they see a Tim Daniel, they need to know that you kept getting rejected, but guess what? When you accepted that you needed to improve, you improved. That's what separates you from other people. You didn't say, no, it's not my fault. And that's part of the process of being a young leader. Accepting that I'm going to make mistakes, but I'm going to man up to my mistakes and I'm going to keep getting better. That's the thing. I mean, that's really inspiring. That's so inspiring. So tell us about your experience with Mandela Washington. Which university did you go to? What was the process like? Was that your first time in America?
Yeah, it was my first time in America.
Okay, so how was that like? The whole experience.
Well, actually, the leadership training is designed to build young African leaders in three different areas. So the first area is those who work with the government, public management. So if you work with the government, you are placed under the public management track. The second group is for entrepreneurs, leadership in business is for those who are in the business space, those who own association like the one I have, those who own business club and businesses. The third group is for those who work in the NGO space. If you work in a youth-led organization, women empowerment organization, children and so forth, humanitarian, you fall under that track. But I was under the track of business and entrepreneurship because of the work of the Association of South Sudanese Entrepreneurs. So it's a 6-week leadership training. And then you are placed in one of the universities in the UK, in the US. So I was in Pennsylvania in a university called Lehigh. So we have spent 5 weeks in Lehigh.
Philadelphia.
Then, yes, Philadelphia. So the 6 weeks, all the 700 young African leaders from the countries of Africa comes together to Washington, D.C. for a 1-week summit. So it was an opportunity for me to interact with brilliant young African leaders who are doing extraordinary different types of businesses in their countries. And one of the most outstanding experience that happened to me is that among the people who attended the leadership training, we have established an international company that is currently registered in the United States of America. And our focus will be that we bring liquidated products from America to sell them here in Africa. So the implementation of this project will start from the mid of this year, the month of June. And this is where we will bring these products here in Africa, and then we distribute it to some of the countries in Africa. And as you know, the quality of American products. So I consider it a win-win to me that we have registered a big company I was able also to network with young African leaders from different parts of Africa. If I go to Nigeria, at least I know someone. If I go to Ghana, I know someone. If I go to Rwanda, I know someone. So it has expanded my network regionally and internationally. It's one of the most prestigious leadership training that I really encourage young people to be part of it. So the application has already closed, but it will open in the month of September. And then they will recruit more people who would love to be part of this leadership training. So that's all about the Mandela Washington Fellowship.
Okay. And so did you travel around the U.S. or you just mostly stayed in Philadelphia?
Yeah. I went to New York. Specifically, I went to the UN headquarters. It was one of the best experiences. I also traveled to Georgia. It's also one of the beautiful states that I really like, plus Washington, D.C., and Philadelphia. So these are the states that I visited.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
And so when you were doing the training, what are some of the things that you learned? What are some key learning that you've learned? Give me two key takeaways you've learned from that.
The first takeaway is that you have to excel in what you are doing. For example, if I'm doing the vision of the Association of the South Sudanese Young Entrepreneurs, people should know exactly what I'm doing. People should know that I'm doing this to empower young people in business space. So in other words, I'm trying to say that pursue excellence in whatever that you are doing. Don't do it for the sake of doing it, but excel on it so that the impact can be seen by people. The second thing also, you need to learn professionalism in whatsoever that you are doing. And this is something that I've seen in the American society. They always pursue professionalism in whatsoever that they are doing. And it has inspired me that in whatever that I'm doing, I have to be very professional. So pursue excellence and be professional in what you are doing.
Okay, pursue excellence. And so in the association, I would say, what are some of your plans for 2024? I mean, we're in January. What are some things that we can expect from the association this?
We will have a conversation on strategic starting. We have just resumed the year. So we are inviting one of the MDs of the international banks here in Juba. He will facilitate a session on a strategic starting. For example, what is the energy that you can start your business is here with as an entrepreneur? So that will be the first activity that we will host. And probably on the first week of February, we will host this conversation in Palm Africa Hotel. And as I've said earlier, that we are going to introduce our entrepreneurship masterclass starting from April. And then it will be every 2 months we will bring on board these international business people here in Juba. And the other thing also we are organizing for Young Entrepreneurs Business Expo. And this time, we would love to reach to His Excellency Salfakir Mayadit to attend and to be the guest speaker in this, to encourage young people in business space. And we want also the president to tell the private sector that the time has come for you to support young people in business space. And I believe if the private sector hear the voice of the greatest man in the country, I think it will have an impact and we will have a network of strong young entrepreneurs in the market space. These are some of the projects that we are planning to implement in 2024. And we want to also to introduce what we call the Young Entrepreneurs Business Award. We want to award outstanding young people who have established genuine businesses. It is not about saying that I have a business, but it has to be seen by people. It has to have an impact, not only in your financial life, but in the society. So we are currently mapping out these young people who own well-established businesses to award them, and then to tell the society you need to support them. So this is what I can say in regards to what we are going to achieve in 2024.
Okay, that's exciting. Now we want to know, yeah, what is Come Let's Read initiative. So by the way, to our listeners, if you guys are in South Sudan and you ever, especially, I'll have a lot of listeners in the U.S. and the diaspora where I'm from, come and check out these initiatives. Come and attend a workshop, attend an event from Come Let's Read Initiative. We usually host some of the French Institute or different places. I really would recommend, if you're in Juba and you really want to meet engaging young youth, young people, like Brother Atem, come to these functions. You'll meet brilliant people. So that's what I want to add. But now, what are some things we can expect from the Come Let's Read Initiative?
Well, also in the month of faith, we are going to introduce and launch the Young Professional Development Experience that I've highlighted earlier. And then we are going to start with the Central Bank of South Sudan, because this activity will be supported by the Central Bank of South Sudan. And then we will place at least 5 interns who will learn the work environment in the bank. And we are also currently mapping some of the big institutions in the country. In each institution, we at least place 2 to 3 young people just to learn what these institutions are doing and to introduce them to the work environment. And we are going also to celebrate World Book Day, and it's going to focus on young writers, young people who wrote books. And we will organize a big book fair written by young writers only. And our objective of that is to tell the society also we have young people who can write books, who can write articles, who can write also academic papers. Plus our monthly forum, we will be talking on different topics related to education. So that's for the Come Let's Read initiative.
Okay, this is good. And now you have a show on SSBC. Is that going to be a constant show,
yes,
or is it just for the Christmas season?
It's going to be a constant show. So what we did in the Christmas time, we hosted 2 different programs, I and Sarah. The first program was Weledu Yesu, Jesus Christ Was Born. And we've recorded 12 episodes where we interviewed church leaders, pastors and bishops, and they shared their views on Christmas, how we are supposed to celebrate the Christmas. Is the Christmas just about buying clothes to kids? What is the real meaning of Christmas? And the second show, it was the Christmas Morning Show. It's a collective of different programs in the morning show. We also hosted like 12 episodes of it. Now for 2024, we are going to host the Youthful Youth Program. And this program is designed to highlight the challenges that young people are facing through. And we have divided into seasons. So the first season, we are going to record 12 episodes on a topic called the Founder Experience, where we interview those who founded initiatives, organizations, foundation, just to share their views. Why is it important for you to establish something? Why is it important for you as a young person to be a community-driven person? Why is it important for you to contribute into the society? We will only host founders of initiatives and foundation. The second season of it will be I Am an Entrepreneur, and it is purely for the young people in the business space. They will come and share their stories of how they have established businesses, the challenges that they are facing in the market. The third episode, we name it Story for Glory. And this episode is dedicated to significant stories of success of young people. And I can share one of these stories that have really empowered me. There was a lady who started her career as a volunteer in one of the organization. So through that organization, she applied to an internship position in the African Union. So she was lucky enough to be accepted. She went to Ethiopia, attended the internship period. Once the internship period finished, she was awarded a contract and she worked with the African Union for 4 years. When she came back to Juba here, she became the executive director to the same organization that she volunteered in. She worked there for 1 year, and after that, she went and worked one of the big organizations as a program manager.
And you'll be telling her story.
Yeah. So we are interested in such kind of a story. Nobody helped her in the government.
When are these stories?
This is the third episode. The first episode is the first episode will be the founder experience, followed by the I Am Entrepreneur, then Story for Glory. So basically, it's going to be in the month of June, according to our plan.
Okay. So some of your episodes are not going to be released until later in the year.
But actually, we are starting from February. The founder experience.
Okay. That's really exciting. And you'll be posting those online, or where can people get them?
We will record them, and then they will be streamed live at SSBC TV on Facebook, also on YouTube, online? Plus on the channel. It will be live on SSBC once a week. We have not yet decided the day, but we will let people know.
Okay. That's good.
Definitely, so you will be one of my guests.
We're just going to continue the conversation. Oh, okay, for sure. That'll be great. You guys can tune into that. We always talk about making an impact and making South Sudan a better place. And I feel like many of us have been so hung on the idea that you yourself have to make all these changes. But we fail to understand that the small change you make, if you focus on that, you can be more impactful. Because what is it within our control? There's so many things that are not in our control that we shouldn't worry about. But within our control, we can change a lot. And one of the ideas that I had with making this is that I want to highlight some work that people are doing that helps South Sudan, even if in a small way. I mean, many people say, okay, reading initiative or association. But the impact that has, people don't know that. I mean, I personally would say the impact that you've had is big. On myself, some of the things I've attended, and I see the guests. I mean, for you guys, listen, I'll say I attended an event where I was a speaker with the Minister of Youth and Sports, the National Minister, and an MP, a young MP. And for you to be able to get the minister to come to a function, we had a very good discussion on youth activities, on youth development, on what the youth can do better, etc. Many people fail to see that those small things make a big impact, inspiring people to do better. So I want to ask you, how is your work making South Sudan a better place? You know, because that's one of the things I want to ask my viewers, ask my guests. How is your work making South Sudan a better place? How do you believe you're making an impact? Go ahead.
Thank you so much. This is one of the most brilliant questions. And I'm so excited about it. So in my presentation earlier, I told you that yesterday, five people called me and said, Atim, we were shortlisted for the Mandela Washington Fellowship. I always make sure that whatever I do, whether under the Kamlet Street Initiative or the Association of the South Sudanese Young Entrepreneurs, or during my translation work or emceeing, I inspire someone. Do you know the Come Let's Read initiative? When we celebrated our third anniversary, a young man came to me after the program and he told me that, Atim, I have attended 3 sessions of the Come Let's Read initiative here at the French Institute, and I got inspired to establish my own reading club. So, some of the members of the association, I mean, of the Kamlat Read Initiative, whenever we organize something, yes, I heard that.
Yeah, positively.
So I was saying that some of the members of the Kamlat Read Initiative, whenever they attend our programs, the programs actually impacts their life, especially when we are talking on the leadership training that are available for young people. So upon my arrival from America last August, I immediately organized a session on access to Mandela Washington Fellowship. And it was attended by not less than 450 participants, who all of them are interested to be part of this leadership training. And as I was telling you in the beginning, that five of them were shortlisted for this fellowship. And probably next year, they will go to America to be beneficiaries of this actually program. That's how I am making South Sudan a better place, offering young people an opportunity to travel the world, getting to know about what is happening to young people across the world. It's an impact, and it's a way that is making South Sudan a better place, you see? So, and also engaging young people in these activities, it brings them out from these corners of drug addiction, these corners of involvement in communion fight and so forth. But these types of programs we are organizing, it shifts their mind from engaging in these bad practices to engaging in some of the best practices. And this is how actually we are making South Sudan a better place through the Association of South Sudanese Entrepreneurs, through the Kamlat Read Initiative, and through the program that we are about to host at the SSBC for young people. Over to you.
Okay. So you are making an impact in your own way. And sometimes the impact is that you're adding, giving people the opportunities, and those people can go and make the change. And I think that should be our theme, and that should be the message we really push young people to do, because you're not going to be able to make all the changes you want to make. But you'll be able to make that small impact, and also that impact, you'll be able to touch people's lives in ways that you didn't know. So thank you for that. I think, Brother Ten, we're near the end. I want to say, what is your final message for our listeners? What you told us about impact, what is one final words of inspiration you have for our listeners?
Young people need to know that you cannot get a thing on a silver plate. You have to make an effort and a strive to create opportunities for yourself. I started to translate, and it has opened new horizons and new doors for me. Number two, develop yourself in an area of gifting. If you are good in translation, if you are good in doing something, do something. Develop that gift God gave to you. And people will pay you to perform your gift. People will be benefiting from your gift. Number three, avail yourself in spaces that market you. Attend workshop, leadership training. Get closer to smart people like Akol, brilliant people like Sarah Atoich, like Atim Daniel, and the rest of the young people who are doing something good. And I think by doing this, you will get to inspire to do something. That is my encouragement to young people. Don't give up. There is always an opportunity for you once you become diligent. That's it.
You guys have heard him. Don't give up. There's always an opportunity. And just remember, this is somebody who couldn't speak English when he came from college. This is somebody who was rejected for a job that he studied. This is somebody who was a cashier. This is somebody who was just a translator. He used to just translate. And now he has a show on SSBC. He's a Mandela Washington Fellow. Founder of two very influential organizations. These are the type of people who are positively impact South Sudan. These are the type of people that inspired me to create this show, South Sudan, the World. Thank you, guys. This is the first episode of the new year. Stay blessed. Stay well. Continue to follow us. And We appreciate it. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share this interview. And we hope that you have a blessed day. Brother Tim, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yep. All right. And